This podcast is brought to you by SMC. Money wise, be wise.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Priyanka Sahai and you're tuned into Setting Sail, our weekly podcast where we get you the country's best known entrepreneurs to tell you their stories by themselves. Now, becoming an entrepreneur takes a lot of sweat and blood. And in this series, the idea is to understand how these top guns negotiated the pitfalls in their lives and eventually got ahead of established legacy players. Now, this episode is dedicated to one such special person who has probably never thought twice before calling spade a spade and has picked up fights with incumbents for what he thinks is right. Without further ado, let me tell you that our today's guest is none other than Vishal Gondal, founder and chief executive officer of health device startup Goki. For the uninitiated, Goki is not the first startup founded by Vishal. Back in the 90s, when he was barely 16 years old, he founded a company called India Games and managed to successfully sell it off to Walt Disney for a whopping $100 million. Hi Vishal, thank you so much for taking time out for us and being there on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Alright, so first of all, tell me, how was it selling off your startup for $100 million way back almost like a decade ago? And what did you do with the huge chunk of money that you got from Walt Disney?
So, you know, like I said, that you don't build startups to sell. You build it to scale and create an impact. I think with India Games, we were at that point of time, possibly India's biggest gaming company, 64% market share. And Disney, which was one of our shareholders through UTV, at that time wanted to enter the Indian gaming business. And they made an offer which was, too difficult to resist.
Absolutely.
Not just for me, but our investors and employees who had been in the company for almost 12 years. And I think Disney is a great brand to work with because we knew that, you know, they're going to take India Games to the next level. So I must say that it was not very difficult for us to say yes. Like I said, right, you know, you are not doing this for money. Money is just a byproduct. You know, the reason I started India Games was because I was passionate about playing games, and it ended up having a good result. So that's what led me to start my next company, Goki. And again, it was not because, you know, I knew anything about healthcare. It was because of my own personal journey. At school, I was a national level volleyball player, but while I was building India Games, I became a volleyball myself. And I was only eating unhealthy food, no exercise, no sleep.
Right.
And that took a toll on my health. And then I started my own journey to become healthy and fit. And I started running marathons, did ultra marathons. By the way, last week I just scaled Mount Fuji from Japan.
Okay.
2 years back, I scaled Everest Base Camp.
All right.
So I was able to make a change in my own lifestyle by combining digital health, devices, wearables, coaching. And that's when I realized that, listen, the biggest problem in healthcare is not that we need more doctors or more medicine. The problem is people are not motivated. Motivation is a problem. And in my gaming business, that's what we did. We made people get addicted to playing games. And my goal was, if I could use the same techniques to get them addicted to becoming healthier, which is walking, drinking more water, or eating green vegetables, we can make the country healthier.
Right. And you know, the idea, I completely understand that, you know, there is a trigger point for something to start. But having said that, our audiences will really be interested to know that from the first chunk of money that you got, did you actually think about investing in a startup? Because I know that you're also a very active angel investor. You've invested in a bunch of startups. Or you actually, you know, like you said, that you yourself had become a volleyball. Did you actually go and throw a party for your friends? What was the first thing that came to your mind and you did?
So again, right, my point is that, you know, what I believe is that the way for an ecosystem to grow is when people who have benefited from it give it back.
Right.
When I raised capital, I was 22 years old. And there was somebody who was willing to give me a check to, you know, run India Games.
Right.
So if I am not today doing the same and funding young startups, how will the world become better?
Yeah.
So clearly I do invest. I, you know, invested crazy amounts of money in all kinds of startups. Some are good, some are bad, some have not worked, some have worked. So it was clearly there. I think the second important thing which I was trying to do was investing in myself. And when I say investing in myself, it is about investing in your mind body. So while I was trying to be physically active and fit, I started attending TED. So I've been to almost every TED conference every year now from 2010.
Okay.
And that's where I meet the thinkers and the entrepreneurs and the mad scientists. And that's where I learned about all the new things which are happening. So I spent a lot of time with them, and with them I got a glimpse into the future.
Mm-hmm.
So what is happening is, when you see a TED video today, it was recorded 1 year back.
Right.
So by the time you know about something new which is happening in the world, it's already 1 year late.
Yeah.
So my goal was, how do I go to the source and learn about what's happening? And now the best thing is, some of these people have become my very good friends. So the minute you are reading a book, they say, yeah, I know this guy is a friend of mine. So Simon Sinek, you know,
absolutely,
he's given this amazing TED talk on, you know, this is somebody I know very well, Dan Early, whose books people are reading about behavior economics, I know really well. So what's happened is that I was able to access a lot of these smarter people. And you know, one tip which I want to give everybody listening out here is that you need to figure out a way to spend at least 1 week in your life with people who are smarter than you.
Oh.
I think in today's world, unfortunately, whenever you meet people, you are meeting people either who are equal to your intellectual level or maybe slightly lower.
1 week in a month? 1 week, like?
At least 1 week in a year.
I mean, okay.
Ideally, if you can do it every day, that's even better. But I'm saying that you need to be surrounded by people who are smarter than you. And when you go to an event like TED, you are possibly the dumbest person in the room. That's what happens. So I spend that 1 week every year at in Vancouver.
We've seen your videos while you've been rock climbing, trekking. We just talked about the upside down push-ups, the headstand, handstand push-ups that you have been trying to experiment and trying to completely, fulfill your target of. So, how healthy, given the fact that you're in the business of selling health device, how healthy is your daily lifestyle, your routine like? And to what extent, being an entrepreneur, you manage to take out time for yourself?
So what I figured out was, before being an entrepreneur, I was a coder. And before being a coder, I was a hacker. So I believe in hacking things. So in my case, I wanted to figure out what are the hacks to be healthy.
Right.
And I figured out few hacks which have really benefited. So one hack which has really worked for me is intermittent fasting. So I think this whole concept of eating 3 meals a day was invented by breakfast cereal companies.
Okay.
Nobody told you that you should wake up and eat breakfast. If you look at, again, the ancient past, we all talk about fasting, you know, in every religion, fasting has been talked about. So similarly, our body is a system which, if you keep your car engine running 24 hours a day, of course the engine will run out. Similarly, if your body metabolism is always digesting food, when will it get time to repair and get other things done?
Yeah.
So intermittent fasting was that one hack. So I now follow 16 hours of fasting and 8 hours of eating window. So basically what I do is I skip breakfast.
Oh.
I have dinner, I eat in the night, and then I directly have lunch next day. So no breakfast now for a few years. And
that has been working for you?
Absolutely. The hack here is this drink called Bulletproof Coffee.
Okay.
So everybody out here, you need to try this. It's coffee with butter and MCT oil. And
okay.
You blend it and it becomes a very tasty latte. I know you're cringing, but believe me, it's very tasty. But what it does is, it gives you the caffeine.
So that's the morning shot.
That's my morning drink.
Okay.
So that's what I have at 8:30 or 9.
Without milk?
No milk.
Okay.
So it's coffee with butter or ghee also you can put.
Okay.
And MCT.
Okay.
And it gives you the energy and it fills you up till 1. So you will not feel hungry. So people who say, oh, I'm missing breakfast. So if you do miss breakfast, that's the hack.
So that's taken care of for whatever your requirement for the next few hours is.
It gives you energy and it makes you full.
And what time would you have your lunch thereafter?
1 o'clock.
Okay. So the regular timing, the lunch, and thereafter there's a break?
The second thing which I realized is that our brain is a decision-making machine. And if you're an entrepreneur or if you're a farmer, you want to make sure your brain's energy is used for making the right decisions. Unfortunately, you wake up and you are deciding what clothes to wear, what shoe to wear, what shirt to wear, what food to eat, what will I have for breakfast. So half your brain is just making these decisions. So sometimes you find out that you just have done nothing, but you're exhausted by afternoon because your brain is constantly deciding. So one other hack I did was I stopped wearing clothes which are not red in color. So my t-shirt is red, my shoes is red. My wife didn't allow me to wear red trousers, but that's the only exception, which is a different color.
Okay.
But I just decided that I'm going to only wear the same clothes every day.
Okay.
And same color. And what it did
was... It saves the mental time that you spend on deciding that.
And I don't have breakfast. So right. Now, suddenly when I wake up...
4 hours of your life, the morning is completely saved.
Completely saved because I'm not deciding anything.
Right.
And then I start my day with meditation.
Okay.
Meditation is the secret weapon for you to perform. I have been using this device called the Muse. So what Muse does is it records your brain waves. So when you're meditating, it actually tells you if you're meditating, because a lot of people don't know that. So if you see my app, it has a device. Look at my last statistics. When it loads it. So you can actually see your meditation history. And if you see this, like I meditated for 13 minutes and you can see out of 15 minutes, 13 minutes my brain.
You're actually meditating. Okay.
And neutral is 1.3.
And what are the parameters through which it decides?
There's a sensor you wear on your head.
Okay. So there's some level of concentration. Once you reach that, they tell you that you're actually meditating. Interesting.
And if you see this, this is my favorite part. 491 days streak.
Okay. All right.
So I have been meditating non-stop. I'll be 500 days will happen in 9 days.
All right.
So I have an app for everything. So like this is my intermittent fasting app.
Right.
I've been, if you see my fasting, I've been tracking that again.
Okay. And so, it seems that you've been pretty successful with all the smileys they're sending you.
So I think tracking is very important because if you don't measure something, you can't improve.
Right.
So what I did was, my hacks of exercising was this. The third hack which I have done is set up a very, very audacious goal. Don't set up a goal ki haan main treadmill mein 10 minute bhaagunga. So my goal was, I'm going to do a headstand and a handstand. People said, Arey, come on, look at yourself. How the hell can you do? It took me almost 5 months of practice.
Okay.
And today, I can do a headstand anywhere. Anywhere with no balance, nothing.
Okay.
And handstand, I can do handstand push-ups.
Right.
And that was the audacious goal I took. And you are more likely to succeed in an audacious goal than a mediocre goal.
Okay.
So, that's why I always set up audacious goals.
Fair enough. And this is not just for the health benefits. I think you also set up audacious goals for even picking up fights with industry leaders. One such incident, let me ask you the question that I have. You took a stand, let me frame it this way. You went public with the fact that Flipkart was actually selling your device for a discount which was not acceptable to you. Being in the same industry, and you know, how difficult it is for actually going ahead and taking names and, you know, having a stand on an issue, especially what is the take of the investors on such instances and what is the status?
So first of all, I want to start by saying that, you know, we had a dispute with Flipkart. We of course went to the courts and so on, but we have amicably settled, and right now we have no, I love Flipkart and you know, we are in fact doing a big campaign with them.
No love is lost.
I think the only example here was that, you know, whatever that incident happened was impacting our business.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, if you are pushed on a corner, you had to react, and that's what we did. Our investors, everybody was supportive of that. And I think that's exactly why we were able to finally, you know, get Flipkart to work with us and, you know, solve whatever misunderstandings we had. And I think a suggestion I have for everybody, right? I think in today's time, you just can't be passive. You know, if you see anything which is, you feel is not correct, you know, there is a way to respond, and there is, you know, there are many mediums, there are the courts, there is social media, there are so many things, right? So I think people should do it.
You need to raise the issues and see to it that it gets sorted.
I'm seeing more startups are doing it. Suddenly there are some other cases also happening. So I think, you know, people are getting smarter.
And the other parties tend to listen to you if your case is right, is what you're saying essentially.
If you're on the right.
But what is the say of the investors? I mean, see, at the end of the day, this is the same investor who's perhaps going to invest in the other company, and it's a small ecosystem.
Actually, I would say investors like it because investors want to see value protection and value creation and value enhancement.
Right.
And when we are saying that, listen, I'm doing this to protect the value of the company and
right.
actually the employees and investors, they like it. And again, it depends on who your investors are. We are lucky to have a set of investors who are very
supportive. Who've been very supportive. Okay, fair enough. You know, we're meeting at a very interesting time, especially when a lot of the restaurants associations have actually come up and expressed their grievance against the deep discounting which is being offered by the likes of Zomato, Easy Diner and other restaurant aggregators who work online. Now, my question to you is, what is your say on this entire issue? And would you agree if I were to say that unlike the West, the Indian e-commerce ecosystem has reduced itself just to being a discount gamer?
See, I would say that getting a discount on your favorite mobile phone or your favorite t-shirt was still good. But what's happening in the food industry is extremely shocking and disturbing to us. Because what's happening is, in the name of deep discounts, people are over-consuming unhealthy food. Recently, I think Swiggy came up with a report that their highest selling item is burger, second highest is biryani, and third highest is again something fried or whatever. So the problem is that for every discount consumers are getting, they are going to spend 10 times and 100 times more in medical bills, in healthcare costs,
yes.
in diabetes, in cholesterol, in hypertension. We are creating a nation of unhealthy, obese people. And it's my appeal to, you know, Zomato especially, I think they should shut that infinity dining program because it is making people do binge eating.
Mm-hmm.
Because here you are telling somebody that you can pay one thing and then eat the entire menu.
Mm-hmm.
Please, for God's sake, don't do that. Don't eat the entire menu. Please take care of your health. And in fact, we actually in one of our campaigns actually have a specific ad featuring Akshay Kumar talking about exactly this.
Absolutely. And I was about to come to that. I saw your ad, and like I said, that you never, you know, think twice before calling spade a spade. There also, you have not thought twice before being politically correct, and you've made the actors say in as many words that don't get fooled by these apps.
Food apps aapke health ki band baja rahe.
Band baja rahe, exactly. And he also goes ahead saying that gadhe mat banao. Yes, exactly. So these are some really sharp words. I mean, I think that you've chosen a very sharp methodology to convey your message. How does that happen?
It's not a sharp methodology. It's because everybody associates with it. You know, everybody today, the ads are when you're seeing cricket match, ice cream order kar lo, bhaji order kar lo, fries order kar lo. This is the ads.
Yeah.
See, and then they're offering you 50% cash back, 70% display free.
Yeah.
What is the consumer doing? You know, it is shocking. And, you know, I would say that more than anything else, the government should have, especially on deep discounting of junk food.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to discount vegetables, yeah, let's make people give discount on green vegetables.
Okay.
Why are we not discounting gajar? Why are we not discounting, you know, salad?
I hope Grofers is listening to this.
Maybe they should discount that. That's better.
Right.
Better than discounting burgers and pizzas.
Right. So, but, you know, you are not just talking about the issues that the restaurants are facing, given the fact that their margins are being impacted. You are also going ahead and saying that this is not helping even the customers.
Absolutely.
Both the parties are at loss, and the only people who are gaining are the food apps, the likes of Zomato or Easy Diner, or for that matter, when we come to the delivery, it's Swiggy which is gaining. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. It is not the consumer's interest in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
They are only doing it for their own interest. It is not to help the consumer in any way.
Okay. And tell me, you know, how did Akshay Kumar happen? Because at the end of the day, he's a big health icon of the country, so as to say. And having Akshay getting associated with you, and if I'm not wrong, he's also invested in the company. So how did that happen, and what is the arrangement
so,
like?
I think last year we did a report on the trust of Indians in the healthcare system. And the report, the results were crazy. 94% of India does not trust healthcare. They do not trust doctors, they do not trust hospitals, they
okay.
do not trust pharma companies. But the number one person they trusted was Baba Ramdev. Number
okay.
two was Akshay Kumar.
Alright.
And, you know, after we saw that report, we said, listen, if there's anybody we want, of course, Baba Ramdev is already with Patanjali. So Akshay was our natural choice. And then we put all our resources in convincing him. See, because for Akshay, this is not just a brand endorsement.
Okay.
He wants to work with us very closely. He wants to advise us because he understands this a lot. So in his case, it was really about him getting convinced on our product, our model and our vision. And when we are a preventive healthcare business, our entire business is about making people healthier, educating them on what's right, what's wrong, and motivating them to take their health in their own hands. And that's exactly what we want. So it took us almost, I would say, a little less than 8 months. But
he got convinced eventually. Tell me more about the arrangement. I see a lot of these celebrities now investing in startups. There have been a bunch of them who invested in the recent months. What sort of an arrangement? Is it an equity for endorsement? Is it equity wherein they spend their capital also? What sort of an arrangement is it?
So I can't get into specifics on, you know, anybody. But I think in general, I think what's happened is that celebrities have understood that especially for consumer brands, consumer healthcare, a lot of celebrities, if you have the right celebrity, can play a big role in building value. I think that's what celebrities have understood, and which is why you are seeing a lot of celebrities coming here, because they understand the same value of what they bring.
The value they're bringing on table, bringing absolutely. On. You know, you also have invested aggressively in some of the niche startups. But let me remind you, I'll not go asking about the startups that you've invested in. But back, like almost a decade ago, Ritesh Agarwal reached out to you for 15% of an equity in OYO
30 lakhs, yeah.
for 30 lakh rupees, and somehow that deal didn't go through. You weren't quite convinced. To what extent do you miss and regret missing out on that deal?
You don't regret this, right? I mean, the point was, I mean, he was all of 17 and, you know, he had a plan of doing, running into a few
right.
thousand crores, and clearly, you know, it was a little hard to believe. And, you know, I decided to have a wait and watch approach. But before I could wait and watch, this
just
plane had already
of your
taken
hand.
Off. So, I think you learn. But like I said, right, Ritesh is a rare entrepreneur. I think
right.
what he's done at this age, he's already worth God knows how many billions. I think he's going to be possibly creating the first $1 trillion company from India. And
wow.
I'm convinced of that.
Right. And having said that, what would your suggestion be for any angel investor who's approached by a youngster?
Yeah.
See, because at the end of the day, we
That's
know...
That's what I said, right? If you meet a youngster, just fund, give him some money. Just don't let him go.
Okay. Because a little bit of cash wouldn't hurt your pocket, but at the same time,
yeah.
a little amount of equity will go a long way in building a fortune for you as well.
Exactly.
Okay. And you know, one quick last question, Vishal, here. When I'm saying that you have a really frank behavior, I really mean it. And I went through one of your social media posts, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've actually posted your BCom results, which is a Bombay University result copy, wherein they failed you in the finals, if I'm not wrong, right? I think they marked you 17 out of 100 or something like that. And best part was that it takes a lot of courage for somebody to go up on a social media and post something like that. And I saw that a lot of people were actually very appreciative of what you had done. So my question to you would be that after achieving what you have in so many years, to what extent do you think is education required for the entrepreneurship ecosystem?
See, the problem in Indian society is that we are only taught to win or succeed. Failure is not appreciated in any field. You know, any parent or any teacher or any school, you are only told that you need to win, 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 win. And I think that's the problem, because the minute these people come to the real world, they realize that we can't win everywhere. Whether you are in a job, whether you are in a company, you will face more failures than, you know, victories, as they say. So, I think the fact here is unfortunately, and in the startup world also, I was seeing this. It was like, oh, if you are from IIT, you will get immediately funded.
Exactly, my
point. If you are from IIM, you will get funded. Or if you are from Bain Capital, you will get funded. These are the kind of stories which are coming out.
Yeah.
While the reality is, Ritesh is a college from.
I was about to say that, yes.
Ritesh is a college. Vijay Shekhar did not come from IIT.
Though he went to D school.
Yeah. So I think the fact is that if you do not celebrate failures,
yeah,
it is not going to work.
And this culture is pretty much there in the West. Somehow in India, it has still not taken off.
So I think, you know, it's just about time. I think it is going to happen because as more and more people take entrepreneurship, they'll realize that in entrepreneurship, you fail for 364 days out of 365 days.
Right.
So if you don't enjoy failure, you can't survive.
Absolutely.
Because you will just die of depression.
And I'm sure that given the fact that you are so convinced about this and given that you yourself have had that journey, you would be one of the first investors who will ensure that you will invest in a startup without seeing the degree of the entrepreneur.
Oh yeah, degrees. In fact, I think the problem with degrees is that it makes you think in a box.
Okay.
So, I'll tell you a very interesting thing about Gokey. We are going to be India's biggest consumer healthcare company.
All right.
But I don't have a single doctor in my management.
Okay.
Why? Because if doctors could solve healthcare, we would not need a book. So the problem is that people who are in a box cannot think out of the box.
Sure.
For a doctor, the solution is always going to be a pill.
Right.
You know? And we are saying that if pill was a solution, the whole world would have been healthier because everybody could pop up.
Yeah.
The solution for problems like this is going to the behavior of people and modifying their behavior to look at healthier things. The biggest health app in the world, by the way, is Pokemon Go. More people walked and ran playing Pokemon Go than all the other health apps in the world combined.
Okay.
So that's the way to look at healthcare. And I think India is a great place to solve this problem because we have a considerably young population, so preventive measures can be implemented. Mm-hmm. Not like Japan where people are already too old, where it's too late to do this.
Yes.
Or in America where the healthcare system is already crumbled.
Right.
India may, if we do not fix this, next 10, 20, 30 years, there will be a catastrophe.
Right.
The amount of people who, after eating all the free food from Swiggy and Zomato.
So that's a big message that we are having for Swiggy and Zomato. I'm sure they're listening to that. And according to you, solution is going to be to monitor the behavior of these people and to modify that instead of giving them pills.
To motivate them, you can modify the way, to motivate them to make healthier choices.
Healthier choices, all right.
And technology can do it very easily.
Okay, absolutely. And on that note, Vishal, I would really like to thank you for taking time out for us and sharing all of this.
Thanks a lot. Pleasure, and probably we'll be back.
Yes, I'm sure.
And finally, a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, stock analysis and trading recommendations. You can now subscribe to Money Control Pro for just ₹289 for 1 year as part of our independence offer. Use code FREEDOM. The offer is valid until 31st August for Android and desktop users. Log on to Money Control today to subscribe.
So that's all that we have for this episode of Setting Sail. Meanwhile, if you have any comments or queries, you can write down to us. Our email is mcpodcast@aw18.com. Till then, for more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.